If you make that little oof noise every time you stand up, yeah, that's your knees talking. Go see Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief covered by Medicare, 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
And she always follows the money. Elise Glink is with us. She joins us every single Friday. Elise can be found at thinkglink.com, and I think you'll like her Love Money and Real Estate newsletter. That's glink.substack.com. Elise, the Bears. It was pointed out to me that maybe it's a bigger plan. Maybe the governor of Indiana has a bigger plan to try and gentrify Hammond in that area by bringing the Bears in, then bars and restaurants and some apartments and homes. And then pretty much Chicagoans are like, well, hey, I can live across the border cheaper and still get into town on a train ride. What do you think of that idea?
It's possible. I'm not inside the mayor of Hammond's mind or the state, the governor's mind for sure. But we've seen, you know, kind of a mix when you look nationally at states that have helped fund or cities that have helped fund these kinds of sports arenas. And, you know, what they hope will happen, you know, around it sometimes does and sometimes doesn't. I will say that what the Bulls are doing around their area and how they're privately building and continuing to build has really done a tremendous amount for Madison Avenue west of the city and that entire sort of West Loop area, which has really developed. But it's taken 30 years to do that.
Yeah, it really started with Oprah, didn't it?
I mean, it did. Yeah. And actually, I wrote that story for the Chicago Tribune like 30 years ago when she first came to the West Side, and there was really not much there, and there was a lot that was wrong with that area. And she came, and she really was a driving force. But it really helped that the Bulls were on the other side. They're on sort of the western edge of the West Loop. And it was the areas in between that were kind of a no-go land. And then because of both of those investments over many, many years, and not to mention the success of the Bulls, right, Michael Jordan and all of his teammates, that whole side really developed.
All right. And they broke ground again for an expansion of sorts, restaurants and apartments and
music venue.
Yeah,
I believe
absolutely.
One of those big buildings is going to be a music venue. So to your point, you know, is the, you know, governor of the state or the mayor of Hammond looking at what the Bulls have done and thinking to themselves, hey, we can do that too? Absolutely. But you can also look at other places around the country where it hasn't worked so well, where the development that you had hoped would have happened didn't. And, you know, the teams moved out. And one that I'm thinking about is the Atlanta Braves, where they built a stadium 25 years ago thinking that that would generate this tremendous amount of development, and it did some. And then they up and moved to, I don't know, somewhere alongside the perimeter, if you're familiar at all with Atlanta. It's not that close to where they were. And now that area is getting some love. But the original idea for the area that it was located in, which was really central Atlanta, didn't see the kind of development that we've seen over around in the West Loop.
Interesting. What did you think of the job numbers today?
Oh, I thought they were pretty good. 172,000 jobs created. That's a lot better than what all the economists were thinking. They were thinking we'd see about 80,000 jobs. The unemployment rate stayed the same, 4.3% in May. That was in line. There's been some revisions over the past few months to those numbers that don't look as good. So before we get all excited about the fact that there are lots of jobs, I mean, I think it's great that there are jobs created. Healthcare and the economy are the main sectors doing well. I'm waiting to see the construction numbers. You know, we see, Lisa, a lot of dollars, billions and billions of dollars being spent on data center creation. Well, somebody's got to build those data centers, and I'm waiting to see where that shows up in the employment numbers. And I haven't seen it yet. I was at the National Association of Real Estate Editors annual conference, the 60th annual, this week in Miami. I listened to the commercial real estate people talk about it, and nobody seems to know where those jobs are just yet. So we're hoping that those will come later in the year, because those should be really good jobs paying a great wage.
And we have a bundle of new millionaires.
I knew you would like this story, right? It's all about people making money. But the U.S. minted 736,000 new millionaires last year. Let's just sit with that number for a moment. It's 750,000 new millionaires, and that brings the total number of Americans who are millionaires to 8.7 million people, according to the new World Wealth Report from Capgemini. And I just am, I'm kind of floored by that number, aren't you?
That's a lot, but I hate to sound silly. $1 million isn't what it was even 20 years ago. So what constitutes a millionaire?
You have $1 million.
You're worth assets, or in cash?
These are actually measured in investable assets. So this does not include the value of your house. So if your house has jumped up from, say, $25,000 when you bought it to $500,000 today, doesn't count. It doesn't count collectibles, consumables, or consumer durable goods, right? This is just about how much cash you have in the bank and that you can invest with.
And would that be cash in your 401k or any investments?
Could be. A savings account, could be a 401k, could be a 529 college savings plan. Most likely it's all of those things added together. But what the number that I really want to call out to you, Lisa, isn't this number, which is in itself kind of crazy, right? It's what's happening in San Francisco. Because what's happening in San Francisco between Anthropic and SpaceX and OpenAI and a whole hunk of other AI-related companies is that city is about to see tens of thousands of millionaires, and not even millionaires, Lisa, decamillionaires, people worth 10 to 100 million plus, are all going to be actually erupting. Just even with SpaceX, a good story in the Wall Street Journal today about how one of the welders who was there early on at SpaceX, he left in 2020, let's say, he's worth $28 million.
Oh.
Because
was he the contractor? He wasn't just the guy welding. He had to be the guy that owned the company.
Nope. He was a welder for the company, and Elon Musk gave those people equity, and then he allowed them to take 10% of their salary to invest in more stock, and they felt that he was going to be worth something. And when they left, that stock had vested, and now going public, those people are all worth tens of millions of dollars. And it's a lot of it is hidden in the economy, right? These people have moved on. They're doing different jobs. They're with different companies. But that story in the Wall Street Journal really highlighted what happens when, you know, you get lucky, basically. You get the winning lottery ticket. In this case, for people, SpaceX, you know, Anthropic and OpenAI, those were, you know, like nothing companies when they started a few years ago, and now suddenly they're going to be some of the wealthiest people in the country. It's just fascinating.
Well, and Elon Musk with this IPO is just going to be, I mean, the first trillionaire, right?
Yes, I think he's just going to buy Mars. That's
yes,
my
yes. And is that, I think it was $135 a share, and every opportunity to grab one is already gone. Is that something that you think people will immediately see a return on, or will we see a dip?
I think we're going to see a dip. Typically, when you have something like this that goes public, there's such a small, relatively small number of shares that are going out onto the market. A lot of people are going to want to dump because they bought early on. If you really want to invest in Elon Musk, give it a rest. Remember what happened with Tesla? It went up, it went all the way down, it went up again. It's a real roller coaster, and that's what a lot of these startups, and I hate to say SpaceX is a startup, it's still a startup, and that's what happens with a lot of these startups when they go public.
Always great to talk to you and tap into your expertise. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, Lisa. Have a great weekend.
That is Elise Glink, thinkglink.com. The news coming up next on 720 WGN.